In our hymn books, please, to the hymn number 42. Now, if you're not familiar with the hymn book, you'll find that hymn on the page 192. The hymn 42, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. We're going to stand together as we worship the Lord after we have the introduction, please.
Oh,
Turn to the Word of God, to the Psalm 19. Psalm 19, we will take time to read the psalm together as a congregation. Reading from the verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless the public reading of this psalm to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. We're just going to unite together in prayer as we commit and commend our way to the Lord and pray for the Lord's blessing upon our gathering. Let's just take time to still our hearts. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, in the precious, worthy name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach thee and seek thy face today. We do want to thank thee afresh for the grounds of our legal acceptance, that we are accepted in and through the person and work of Christ. How we praise thee from the very depth of our hearts, that we're able to come and enter in right through the veil, able to come in the very immediate presence of God and come as thy people. Lord, we come this day primarily to worship thee, to adore thy name. We would declare with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Lord, right from the very outset of our public worship service, we pray that in everything Christ will be exalted and have the preeminence. Tune our hearts to sing thy praise, and grant that as we do lift the hymn book in our hands to sing, that we will do so from a heart that is overwhelmed with praise and with joy. For all the Lord hath done for us, may we never cease to praise him. And our gracious God, we are conscious that thy word tells us that praise is comely for the upright. We're told and instructed it is a good thing to give thanks unto God. And even as we have read in the psalm, Lord, grant that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We come before thee today as creatures to our Creator. We come as subjects unto our King, and yet we come as children unto our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we humbly bow in thy presence and acknowledge that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. Lord, this day we would ask that we might once again render to the Lord the glory that is due to his thrice holy name. May we not worship thee half-heartedly, but even as the psalmist declared, with my whole heart will I praise thee. May we sing in the spirit, sing with the understanding. And Lord, we would ask that thou wilt wash us and cleanse us afresh. Grant that as we seek to ascend the holy hill of God, that we will have those clean hands and pureness of heart as we worship and as we wait before thee. We want to thank thee, Lord, for permitting us to be here in the house of God on this thy day, for giving to us the very health and strength that we enjoy. We bless thee for all thy goodness and thy mercies toward us that are new every morning, and we would have to declare, great is thy faithfulness. Thank thee, Lord, from last Lord's day even to now, that we can truly say to the Lord, he is good. He is the one who daily loadeth us with benefits. And our Father, we come just to acknowledge thy goodness toward us. May our lives be characterized and marked out by that spirit of appreciation, Lord, that we're a thankful people, that we continually bless and praise the Lord each and every day, aye, constantly, for thy love and mercy toward us. Our God and Father, we pray that in all that's said and done, thou wilt be glorified. We bless each and every head bowed in thy presence, every home that is represented. We pray for any who are not saved, who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Thou wilt reveal Christ to them this very day. Lord, in the Savior's name, that thou wilt remove every obstacle and barrier, every hindrance that keeps them from Christ, every refuge of lies. Lord, that thou wilt bring them and draw them irresistibly to thyself. Bless the people of God. Grant that thou wilt speak personally and yet powerfully to each one of our souls. Lord, may we be drawn closer to thy precious wounded side. Father, we remember today any who are not so well, and perhaps some gather with us and they need a touch of God upon their bodies. We pray for the aged, the sick, and the infirm, that thou wilt minister grace and help and meet them at their point of need. Do bless thy servant, Reverend Park, and his wife and family. Keep thy hand continually upon them. Thank thee for thy child, and we pray that as he labours in Romania with the outreach team at this time, that thou wilt be with them. Help them. Lord, be at their very side. We pray that they will return home rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. And we pray that thou wilt continue to pour out of thy spirit upon them, and Lord, to do him good. Lord, grant to thy servant his heart's desire to see souls saved, to see those who have grown cold come back to trust and to fellowship with the Lord, and for those who are seeking to walk with God to go through and to serve thee with all of their hearts. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember our land and all of its need. We look out upon this country that we love, and we see the sin that is devastating our nation and our country. We pray, Lord, in the Savior's name, have mercy. Visit us afresh. Lord, we realize that we do not deserve the very least of thy mercies. But in the Savior's name, draw near. Visit us, we pray. Lord, to this end, continue with us. Come and rejoice our hearts afresh. We praise thee that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That we are complete in Him. Help us to praise Thee, to rejoice in Thee. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to further worship the Lord, this time turning right to the very commencement of our hymn book, to the Psalm number 1. Psalm 1, found there in page number 5, and we'll stand together after an introduction as we worship the Lord, please. Please, to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 2. Reading from Mark chapter 2, going to commence here at the first verse in the chapter. I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts as we publicly read His word and as we hear from the Lord. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 12, and we do pray that the Lord will write his word indelibly upon all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. It is a privilege and a joy to be with you today, and I'm going to give a brief deputation update, a report about the work and the ministry that the Lord has called me to, that I've been involved in now for quite a number of years. And I want to, first of all, sincerely thank you for your prayers and your support. The ministry to the addicted is a particular type of work that, when it goes well, there are tremendous blessings and rejoicing, but whenever there are problems and difficulties, things seem to go very wrong. And at times it is extremely difficult and hard, but the Lord gives grace. He gives help in time of need, and I sincerely want to thank you for your prayers. I haven't been well just so lately, but the Lord has graciously stepped in, touched me, and kept me out of hospital, and has given me that touch upon the physical frame. Over the years, I've seen an awful lot of change, very different from when I first started over 20 years ago, right up to the present day. We see the increase of, for instance, drugs and alcohol abuse, etc., in our land and in our nation. Maybe of late you have heard, I'm not going to go through a whole list of drugs, by the way, this morning, but maybe you've heard concerns about a drug called fentanyl that's basically mixed with heroin. Fentanyl is 1,000 times stronger than morphine. And there is another particular drug that I've actually been speaking about and warning about for over a year now, and it is a drug by the name of carfentanil. So it's a derivative. Carfentanil is used to basically put hippopotamuses, elephants, to sleep. That's its use. It's a very, very powerful drug. Just a couple of grains are enough to cause a fatal overdose. And carfentanil has been in the media lately because it has now been found in the United Kingdom. And can I say that it has also been found in Northern Ireland? There are lots of problems with different sorts of drugs, and they're just so much on the increase. I could stand here and I could go through a whole list of names. And every time you think that you've seen something, and you've seen it all and heard it all, then something new comes to the fore. In the States, there has been concern about a drug by the name of, I'm just going to give you the abbreviation, DMT, and it has been nicknamed, this is its nickname, the Jesus drug. It's said to cause spiritual enlightenment, and there are even people who are promoting its use to take the user to a heavenly plane, as it were. Horrendous. It's hard to take in. The problem is great, but we have a great God, one who is able to meet the need. I've been so concerned that I've been involved now in going out into the community. I must admit, personally, I love being on the doorstep. I really look forward to getting on the doors, rapping doors, speaking to people, engaging them on a personal basis, one-to-one. I really do enjoy that. And as we've gone out and I've taken some workers with us, we've gone into various communities and areas, we've had a very blessed time. Usually whenever I go into an area, For instance, if it's an area like the Lower Shankill, which is just, you know, got such endemic drug problems, oftentimes people will say, you're not wise, you can't go there, there's drug dealers, there's all sorts of problems, you'll not be welcome. In all the areas that we've gone to, and we've gone to some very challenging and difficult places, the Lord has kept his hand upon us. We've basically got a great acceptance amongst the people. They've been very glad to see us. And of late, we've been so encouraged to see many local people coming into our meetings. I've held about 30 awareness meetings. We used to entitle them, you know, like a drugs awareness meeting. Now they go under the title of The Answer to Addiction. A Facebook page that just deals with that subject. The Answer to Addiction, where we put video clips up, etc. And we seek to reach out into the community. We've been to lots of areas. Antrim, Ballyclare, Shankill, Tigers Bay, Masharkin. And the Lord has really challenged my own heart, because we've been going into a lot of predominantly loyalist or Protestant communities, but there's also the need to go into Roman Catholic areas as well. I spend a lot of time actually working in nationalist areas. At the minute, I'd be working quite a lot in Dungannon. I think at times the Lord takes you out of your comfort zone, and he's certainly done that with me. It's, you know, to be in an area where it's just all tricolours, etc., you really don't feel at home there, but the Lord has really undertaken in a very special way. I'd like you to please to pray for the individuals that we work with, especially there's a number of lads in Dungannon that we're working with, and girls as well. The Lord will work on their hearts. We've got a great acceptance. They come to lots of meetings with us, very willing to come to gospel services, and I'm keen to bring them. Whatever way, whatever state they're in, we want to get them out under the sound of the Word of God. Now, the format of the meetings, whenever we go into an area and we hold one of the Answer to Addiction meetings, we encourage people to come in, parents, etc., to educate them, to teach them, but also to bring them, more importantly, the message of hope and real change. Because a lot of parents are struggling with their children, with grandchildren, etc., who get caught up in addiction. I would normally do a presentation, PowerPoint, about drugs, different drugs, etc., just in a sense setting up the meeting. Then we normally have a GP or a health worker who will talk about the legal prescription drugs and the problems, and also how the health service is seeking to address it. Then we have a number of testimonies, and have men there and ladies who bear testimony to God's grace and how the Lord has set them free. It's been a blessing to see a number of people coming to Christ who are in the depths of chronic addiction. I'm conscious that we can do all that we can. We can labour, we can toil, we can seek to reach out, do everything that we can possibly. But really, they need the Lord. And only Christ is able to meet that need. So do please remember those people. I've got some meetings planned in the incoming months. I will be starting work very shortly for Newton Ards Church. Well, say starting work. I'm going to be working in Newton Ards for the church, knocking the doors. Plan to do that about a day a week, just to get into the Newton Ards area there. Can't wait to get into the estates, get engaging people. Usually they're quite shocked. And quite shocked we've been in the door and speaking about a drugs issue. And then, of course, that just opens the door then to bring the gospel in, and you have a bit of an acceptance of the person, a bit of a friendship built up there very quickly. So we're looking forward to that. Also going into Randallstown to hold a awareness meeting there at the end of September. Also be going back to Carrickfergus, where I've been in a number of schools. As you can imagine, it's quite a busy schedule, going from schools to meetings to outreach to visitation, and it does eat up quite a lot of time. And I'm just learning more and more about how to try and balance time. Can I thank you for all your prayers and your support? As I say, I've been greatly encouraged. The meeting that we held in Ballymena in the town hall, maybe some of you were present at that meeting, but we had a great crowd in. And the main thing was we had a lot of unsaved. A lot of unsaved people come in. That night, they heard the Answer to Addiction. Testimony, the word. And I pray that the Lord will continue to speak on in hearts and lives. Just as I finish this brief report, we were in Monkstown lately, and just before the summer holidays there. And Monkstown is a very difficult area. And yet, when we held a meeting, I think there were somewhere about 30 local people come in. That was a great encouragement to the folk there in the church. And we're looking to build on that. It's not about just getting into a one-off meeting, but building upon that and bringing the Word of God to them. So thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And please do continue to pray that God will pour out of His Spirit. I'm going to ask our brother now, Mr. Phil Moffat, to come, and our brother is going to bring the necessary announcements. Thank you.
Welcome to our service of worship this afternoon. If you're visiting with us, a special word of welcome to you, and especially if you're tuned in on our Wordwhile audience on Sermon Audio, a special word of welcome to you. We're delighted to have with us as our preacher today one of our missionaries who serves before our mission board, Mr. Chris Killen. As Chris has mentioned, he serves those who are in bondage throughout our province with drug addiction. It's a unique ministry that he has, an extremely difficult ministry to which the Lord has called him to. It's difficult, it's demanding, and yet our brother is devoted to the task that God has placed before him. He's faithful in the field of witnessing, and as a result, he has seen many delivered from the bondage of sin, a set gloriously free. This morning we have asked him to share something of the work which he has just done a few moments ago. And this is the form of a deputation meeting this morning, so we will be taking a retiring offering. There will be baskets at the rear of the church whenever you leave. Please remember this work favourably before the Lord. He and his wife have been a great source of encouragement to me personally in the past, and it's a privilege to give our brother a warm and a friendly word of welcome today. The meetings for the week are as follows. With this being the month of August, today we commence our open air witness. This will take place this afternoon at 3:30, and it will be on the Dunloy Road. We would encourage as many as possible to join with us as for a short while we share with the people on the Dunloy Road the glorious good news of the gospel. This evening we meet for a time of prayer at 6:30, followed by the gospel service at 7 p.m. Please pray that the Lord will move by the power of His Spirit as the word is preached, and that once more souls might be saved. The preacher this evening once more will be our brother Chris Killen. The Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the missionary covenant support are due in today. The Reverend Park has confirmed this week that the Lord has confirmed to him that he should remain here in Ballymoney. Upon our brother's return from Romania, he will be sharing with us how the Lord worked upon his heart and soul, and how the Lord made his will known in the life of our pastor. This will take place during one of our midweek meetings. Our brother has prepared a statement for the folks here in Hebron, which we will read at the end of the service before you leave. The session and committee have been meeting on a regular basis over the last 2 months, praying that the will of the Lord would be done in the life of our pastor. This has been accomplished, and as a result, we will meet after this evening's service in thanksgiving and praise for answered prayer. We never prayed that the Lord would take the Reverend Park from us. We never prayed that the Lord would leave the Reverend Park here, but we prayed that the will of God would be first and foremost in his life, and that he would know God's best for him. And so we want to give thanks this evening to God as a committee and session before the Lord. Supper will be served after this evening's service. Services through the week are as follows. From Monday to Friday of this week will be the Youth Challenge Week. This is a special effort to reach the children and young people of the area with the life-changing message of the gospel. Please pray that the Lord will move, that souls will be won for the kingdom during this next week. And please pray for Jackie and for the Reverend McKee, who will be coming along as the evangelist for the senior school and also for the junior class as well. Immediately after tomorrow evening's service at 8:45, there will be a meeting of the parents of those children who are going to the Sunday school camp. This is an important meeting as the consent forms need to be signed and all outstanding balances paid. The midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will take place on Thursday at 8 p.m. The preacher on that occasion will be Mr. Alex Barnabeo, a second-year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. Our brother spoke on the fear of God this last prayer meeting that we had. He's taken a series on that, and we would encourage you to come along and so encourage our brother as he labours before the Lord. Then next Lord's Day, we commence with our early morning time of prayer at 8 a.m., morning worship at 12 noon. Then in the evening is the Youth Challenge evening service at 7 p.m., and I hope to be along in the will of the Lord to take those services next Lord's Day. Building fund envelopes will be requested in next Lord's Day. Just a few other announcements. We have a brief note from the school principal, Mrs. Boyd. And Mrs. Boyd has asked that there is still helpers needed to assist in the Sunbeams preschool work. That's for a Monday, a Tuesday, and a Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And if there is anybody that feels that they could help in some small way in the preschool, then please speak to Lydia or Mrs. Boyd as soon as possible. Immediately after the service, the gospel service next Lord's Day, we will have, of course, a time of fellowship, and we hope to have the mums and dads of the boys and girls who have attended the Youth Challenge. So could we ask the ladies of the congregation to bring along 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns for next Lord's Day evening. Please remember the gospel mission planned for the month of September in Ballinamore. We need to be prepared as a people. And this is a time, perhaps, before the mission where we should engage with God in prayer. We can't emphasize enough heart preparation for these special efforts in the gospel. Please pray that the Lord will bring the lost in under the sound of his word, and that an abundance of souls will be saved. We have had a prayer request from Kenya, and it reads, urgent need for prayer. Next Tuesday, the 8th of August, 19 million Kenyans will go to the polls in their general election, which comes around every 5 years. The race is very tight and tension is very high. Campaigning is now over, and we wait for polling day, and then the dreaded announcing of the results. Neither parties, the ruling party, nor the opposition, want to concede defeat. Kenya needs the prayers of the Lord's people at this anxious and volatile time in the life of the nation. We as believers are the salt of the earth, and as such, we have a preserving influence upon the country as we supplicate the throne of grace that the restraining hand of God might be upon all Kenyan leaders at this time. Our sister says, please pray for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yours in Christ, Margaret Russell. Please remember those who are on the prayer list: Margaret McClure, Maureen Connolly, Nat Story, Patricia McCann, Alan Skelton, Kate McFarland, Jim McDonald, David Irwin, Tracy, and also Leah. Leah is out in Romania with the work group. They thought for a while that she had a blood clot in her leg. She had to go to hospital, but thankfully they've put her on medication and all seems to be well. They moved from the Deborah House to Timișoara yesterday, and they will be working this next week with the poor children of Timișoara. Again, we would covet your prayer support for the group going out in a few weeks' time to the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda in order to build an activity area for the children and climbing frame, and also to install some IT into the school. I believe these are all the announcements, and we'll be back before the service finishes in order to read that statement. Thank you very much.
Amen. Let me thank our brother, Mr. Moffat, very much for the words of welcome, and say that it is a privilege and a joy to be with you today. Let's turn in our hymn books for offering hymn to hymn 437, "Where He May Lead Me, I Will Go, For I Have Learned to Trust Him." So just remaining seated, as the stewards of the church, wait upon you for your tithes and offerings to the work of God, please.
and his dear wife are in from Canada, from Toronto. It's good to renew fellowship with our brother. It's quite some time since we met him, quite a number of years ago there in Canada, and we bid you welcome, brother and sister, in the Lord's great name.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 2. And with the Word of God open, we're going to bow together in prayer, unite our hearts, seeking for the Lord to speak personally to us, to give us a word in season, and to bring us to Christ. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer with Mark chapter 2 open, please. Heavenly Father, what a blessing and privilege it is to be here gathered in the house of God on this, the Lord's Day. We pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts now for the preaching of thy word. The preparation in the heart of man, the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. Speak to each heart, we pray. Lord, grant that we will hear thy voice. And Father, in the Saviour's name, we pray that thou wilt glorify thine own dear Son. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Capernaum was a fishing village located on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. The people who lived in Capernaum were most certainly a very privileged people. After all, that was the place where the Lord Jesus Christ chose to live for a while. We read about that in the book of Matthew and in the chapter 4. Let me just read the verses to you. Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 12 and the verse 13. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. The people here in Capernaum were most certainly very privileged. After all, it was in that place that the Lord Jesus Christ himself chose to perform many miracles. The healing of the centurion's servant, the restoration to health of Peter's mother-in-law, many other miracles beside that he worked in Capernaum. The people, therefore, were very privileged. With privilege, of course, comes responsibility. Not just to hear the word of God, but to heed it and to obey the claims and calls of Christ. The Lord had chosen to dwell in Capernaum after he left Nazareth. The people would have known him personally and seen him. They had been familiar with who he was, his miracles, visiting the house of Jairus after his daughter, of course, had been raised to life. They knew much about Christ, but tragically they did not know him personally. It's very sad, isn't it, to think that for many people who lived in Capernaum, they died as they had lived, without God, without Christ, and without hope in the Word. Matthew chapter 11 reminds us of that very fact. Let me just read these two verses to you. In Matthew 11, verse 23, we read, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." You see, despite the fact that Christ lived there, he performed the miracles, he there preached the word unto the people, we find that the inhabitants of Capernaum in the main, they rejected the Lord. They wouldn't accept him. They wouldn't have him to reign over them. And what privileges, many blessings they had. When we think of the town here in Ballymoney, we would have to certainly say that the people here are very privileged. Privileged to have the preaching of God's word proclaimed faithfully from this pulpit, week after week. Men and women warn faithfully about their condition before God, the need to prepare to meet the Lord, and the only way to do that through Christ and His work and through His atonement. And yet, isn't it sad to think that despite the privileges that people have, many people still refuse Christ and they reject the Lord Jesus? Not everyone who lived in Capernaum rejected the Lord. In Mark chapter 2, here we read about four such people. This account is also found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8, and also in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, 17 through 26. This morning we're going to consider these four men under the very simple heading of helping the hopeless. Helping the hopeless. I want you to consider with me here their concern. Their concern. In verse 3 we read, "And they come unto him," that's unto Christ, "bringing one sick of the palsy." Before these four men lay one who had a terrible illness and disease. Palsy is a disease whereby the body, or at least some parts of that body, they lose motion and they lose feeling. It causes an inflammation of the brain and of the spinal cord, affecting the arms, the legs, the speech, the hearing, and other organs, basically leaving the sufferer in a helpless and in a hopeless condition. It results in paralysis and uncontrolled body movements, basically tremors and shaking. And as these four men gazed at this man who was smitten with the palsy, their hearts were stirred and they were moved. They couldn't just look at him and simply leave him in that condition. Something needed to be done. God worked in their hearts. There are many portions, passages in the Word of God that emphasize the need for us as the Lord's people to actively be involved in seeking to reach the unconverted, to view men and women in their lost estate, to consider the terrible plight that they're in, and to reach out and to do something about it. How oftentimes we can all become affected by the busyness of life, our schedules, and in doing so, fail to see the lost condition of men and women who are without Christ. Men and women who are on the road to destruction, headed for everlasting ruin. And as the Lord's people, we ought to have, and we need to have, vision and compassion to reach them. The Lord Jesus reminded his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest." And in doing so, he was basically saying to him, you need to lift up your eyes. You haven't got the right focus, the right vision. You need to lift up your eyes and consider the great need. We, self-included, need a vision and our eyes to be focused on the harvest field. Palsy is a type or a picture of sin. The sinner who is dead in trespasses and sins, dead to the things of God. This portion before us reminds us about man's total depravity. And as a result, he can do nothing to save himself. He can't deliver himself out of that condition or out of that place. He needs divine intervention. He needs God to step in. Can I say for any who are gathered with us this morning, you're not a Christian, you're not converted, you don't belong to the Lord, you haven't come to Christ. This man's condition is a picture of your state before God. Your inability to please God. And your need of the Lord to have mercy upon you. This man, smitten with the palsy, he was a hopeless case, wasn't he? And yet, despite the fact that he was a hopeless case, and one in many senses who could be given up. These four men were concerned about him. How concerned are we about the lost? How troubled? They're concerned. But in moving along, I want you to also consider here with me, we not only see their concern, but also their cooperation. You see, it's vital that we have a vision and a burden, but also that we're motivated to do something for the cause of Christ. It's not enough just to know about the need and to understand the need. There needs to be action. These four men viewing this man's plight, being touched by his hopeless case, they sought to do something to assist him. And the Lord desires that you and I, as his people, would be those who are used of God to bring men to Christ. Now, we know it's the Lord that does the work. We know it must be a work of sovereign grace. We understand that. Yet the Lord would use a human instrument. He would desire to use us as his people to point men and women to the Savior. Can we read it in this passage here that these four men, that they brought him together. It says in verse 3 that he was born of four. And they worked together to bring this man to a certain place. Notice what it says here, verse 1 and 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Here's a home, and Christ was present there in that home, in that house. He was there in the very midst. It is a picture, isn't it, of the homes that we need and that we require. Homes where Christ is in the very center, and he's in the midst, and he's there preaching the word, and the word is opened. Whenever you think about the home, there are three homes that we all need. Three homes. We all require a celestial home. In other words, you need to be saved. And on your way to glory. Mansion. Prepared. You need a church home. To get into the church and become a member of the church and to be in that church home. But also the Christian home. Can I say that as we consider the portion here, these four men, as they considered his condition and looked at him, they brought him to the place for recovery. Here's the very place where he's going to receive the cure. And they understood and they knew that. It's a truth that sets men and women free. The place for recovery of any soul, of any sinner, is at the feet of Christ. In humility and contrition. If you know someone who's struggling with addiction, and by the way, addiction comes in many various forms. Someone who has a stubborn, life-controlling habit. Here is a remedy to their condition. It is in the Word of God. It is through Christ alone. That's the remedy to their need. We find that here was a home where the Lord was present and his word was open. Recently, my wife, myself, and our young boy had opportunity to see the work of Reformers Unanimous. I know that Pastor Paul Kingsbury has preached here in previous days, and you're familiar, no doubt, with that work and that ministry over in Illinois. And we were overwhelmed. I mean overwhelmed with what we've seen. The ministry is based on the Bible, Christ-centered. One of the things that really struck us was the use of God's Word. Whenever Linda and myself, we went to the ladies' home and then over to the men's home, but in the ladies' home, I mean every free space on the wall had a text of Scripture. I mean, there was Scripture absolutely everywhere. You couldn't look at a piece of wall without there being a text. Whenever we went to the Reformers Anonymous meeting on a Friday night, somebody comes into the meeting, the first thing that they get is a welcome pack. In that pack, a Bible study course. Right away engaging that person and encouraging them to get right into the Word of God. For it is the truth alone that sets people free. We haven't stopped talking about it, all right, myself. It's had a profound effect upon us. Because we've seen so many lives transformed by the grace of God. But what really spoke to our hearts was the love for Christ and His Word, for the Bible. It is our desire and our prayer, Lord, do the same here. Deliver men and women from the depths of sin and addiction. But here's the key. It's by the Word of God. And through Christ and His work. Wasn't it an easy task for these men to bring the sick of the palsy to where Christ was, but they were determined. We can't bring someone to the house of God physically, then certainly we can bring them in prayer, can't we? As we consider these men bringing this man to the Lord, they did so with one accord. It wouldn't do that one of them would decide, well, I'm going to take this route or go that direction, or I'm going to do it this way. No, we find that there was cooperation between the four men, a united vision, a united focus. Look with me here at verse 2, which says, and straightway, verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You see, as they sought to bring this man to the Lord, you find here there was opposition. The large group of people. You can just imagine them bringing him there to the door of the house, but there's no room to get him in. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I had that experience years ago. A gospel mission. I brought someone who had very long hair, a fella, who was in a terrible state. But I couldn't get him into the mission. Still heard the word. There was opposition here. What did these men do? Did they let that opposition hinder them, stop them? No, they were focused. They had this determination. They're going to see the task through. Turn with me, please, just very briefly to the book of Hebrews, the chapter 12. This is a portion that is ever before me. Hebrews 12. Here, Paul, using the illustration of the Olympic Stadium, the games, the track and field events, but especially here, the long distance race. And he encourages the Lord's people. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience at a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, it was many years ago I used to be very much into running. You would know that I haven't ran for quite a while, but look at me. But years ago I used to be involved in long distance running. I had the opportunity to run one marathon. For me, one was enough. But as I was out running, I used to think about all the lessons, and all the lessons in the natural sense that you could draw in the spiritual application. And whenever you're running, there's oftentimes the fact that you get distracted, and you look at others and how they're running, how they're performing. But can I say that as we are to run in our Christian life and in our race, and as we are to work together in the work of God, we need to do so focused solely upon Christ. The word here for looking in the verse 2, the Greek word aphoreo, means to look away from one thing so as to fix your attention and gaze completely on another. And so therefore, as God's people, as we labour and as we work for Him, we need to look away from the difficulties, look away from the distractions, look away from the disappointments, look away from everything that would hinder us. Just focus on Christ. I got a tip book for the time that I ran the marathon. 50 golden tips. I thought, well, that's the book I need. I need the golden tips. Tip number one, the golden tip. Have a vision of focus in your mind. Keep that before you always. And run to that vision, that goal. Golden tip number one. And sometimes when you're running and you hit the wall and you know all your energy's gone and you know it's so painful and it's as if every step is, I can't go any further. I can't make it through. Quit giving. You keep focused. But we keep focused upon Christ. These men, they worked together. They were determined to see it through. Yes, there are many obstacles, but they were willing to go through with God. Moving along here, we not only see their concern, their cooperation, but also the cost that they were willing to pay. You see, bringing this man to the Lord, it was going to involve a lot of effort and labor. He wasn't going to be easily brought to the feet of Christ. But that must not deter them. That must not stop them in their task. You think of the cost of them being rejected, being turned away from the very door, not being able to bring them in. You think of how others would have scorned them and looked down upon them. After all, in Luke chapter 5, we read here about the various people who were present there at that gathering. In Luke chapter 5, and in verse 17, which says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him." And you think of how they would have been ridiculed and scorned. You can imagine those Pharisees. And what they would have had to say as these men began to break up the roof and to let him down and to get him in. It was most certainly a very courageous thing, wasn't it? You can picture them having to use that physical energy, getting up there to the top, then beginning to peel back the tiles and to lift them off, then breaking through that particular ceiling. You can imagine the dust coming down and the particles onto the people beneath. You can imagine how infuriated the Pharisees and the other religious leaders would have been. Who do these people think they are? What are they doing? And yet there was a cost. And they were willing to pay that cost. As the Lord's people, we ought to be willing to pay the price for seeing men and women won to the Lord. They're bringing up the roof. People are not easily won. There's a lot of effort and labor required. We have to stick at it. Patience, loving kindness, tenderness, compassion. It takes effort to get men to Christ. I want to challenge all of our hearts. I was going to say self-included, but first, what are we doing really to bring people before the Lord? Let me ask you personally, when was the last time you brought somebody to the house of God? You see, there are times that we need to be inconvenienced in order to bring men before the Lord. In closing here, I want you to consider their confidence in the Savior. These four men, they all had one purpose of mind and heart, to get this sick man of the palsy, this hopeless case, to bring him to the Lord. They had a vision of his condition. And yet they had a greater vision of the one who was standing in their midst. Their eyes are fixed and focused upon Christ. They seen the Lord, what he was able to do. Notice what it says in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, their complete trust and confidence was in the Lord. They knew, if we can only but get this man to Christ, bring him to his feet, he'll be at the place where he can be recovered. Here is the place of healing and restoration. But a touch from Christ. We need the same burden, desire, drive. Oftentimes, you're in the communities, knocking doors, speaking to people. At times it's overwhelming how far, far away they are from God. And they're so limited knowledge of Christ. These four men, their faith was in the Lord. Let me say to a mother, a father, you have a wayward son, daughter, bring them before the Lord. You can't do it personally, you can most certainly do it in prayer. The Lord is able to meet the need. They weren't focused on the crowd, the obstacles, the difficulties. They weren't looking to the critics. They were looking to Christ. They were focused on him. They had a great vision, a great burden. Notice the result of them bringing this man to the Lord. Notice what it says here. In verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. In each of the three portions, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that there is particular emphasis placed on this very fact, that they were amazed, but they glorified God. You see, that's why we labor, that's why we toil, that's why we work, that's why we seek to bring men to Christ. It is for one purpose alone. It is for God's glory. Scripture does not record the names of these four men. They're unnamed. But it does record their faith and their actions. Lord, help me to see the world through the eyes of Christ, with the vision that he had for the lost souls of men and women. Help me to be willing to pay the price, to go the extra mile, to serve with all of my heart. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, grant that we will serve thee, not just because it's our privilege and duty, but primarily because we love thee. May God burden our hearts, speak on to our souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're not going to have a closing hymn. We'll just bow together in prayer. And then our brother, Mr. Moffat, come up to make the announcement. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer.
Heavenly Father, when we look into thy word, oftentimes we see ourselves. We see our need. We thank thee for this account of the burden and vision of these four men. And Lord, I pray that you'll take these stammering, simple words and are preached and just apply them to hearts. Lord, trouble us. Trouble my heart about the great need of our nation, of our land. We think of our neighbours, our communities. But Lord, turn our eyes of every distraction. Just focus them upon Christ. Help us to run with zeal, with love. Ever keep us near the cross. Lord, please, please never let us be used with, or get used with being saved. Lord, may it be fresh every day of our lives. We owe a great debt, a debt we could never pay. We thank thee for Christ our Saviour. The Lord, help us and enable us by thy grace to be more like him. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us for the remainder of this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.